And thank you very much for the honour of coming to talk to you. I'll be talking about productivity and delivering that through Innovate UK's programmes. So here we go. First, I'm going to start with a few numbers. Let's just get some numbers out there. And we do have some really qualified economics experts in the room. So I am not going to go into any of the detail of how these things were calculated. We can discuss it later for those who are interested. So innovation does contribute up to 50% of all labour productivity growth, and it's maximised with around 2.5% of GDP spent on R&D. In the UK, we spend considerably less than other parts of the world at 1.8%. What about Innovate UK? How do we do? So since 2007, which was pretty much the inception of Innovate UK as the Technology Strategy Board, we have spent more than 1.5 billion of money, of public money, on innovation. And that has crowded in another 1.5 billion in business and partner contributions, making over 3 billion in investment in innovation. So this is a significant investment in innovation in the UK. It's important, it drives productivity, and we have a lot to contribute to the UK economy. So companies that persistently invest in R&D have higher productivity than companies that don't. So 13% higher than those who don't invest at all. And it's not just the direct returns, it's the spillover effects as well. Better value added per employee, more exports. So R&D underpins productivity. I don't think anybody would argue with that. So who do we help with productivity? We've helped 5,000 companies since Innovate UK was started. And at the moment, we have over 2,000 companies, 2,000 businesses on our books who are currently in receipt of matched grant funding. Now, that means, when you look at the additivity, we've added an estimated $7.5 billion to the UK economy. And for every one of those companies we've supported, that's an average of 7 jobs per company. So in terms of GVA, the return in terms of GVA is for every pound spent by Innovate UK, we've returned more than £6 to the UK economy. I think this is a good way of spending public funds. A couple of other facts. We always do a really good econometric analysis of the money that we spend at the end of a programme. So, for example, we've recently been looking at the low-carbon vehicle area and the automotive sector. And there, for every pound spent, the return is between £10 and £28. So overall, a return of just over £6 for every pound spent. But within different sectors and different areas, the return is even higher. And obviously, the longer time goes on, that return increases. So in which sectors have we spent our money? Since I joined Innovate UK a week before the present government, that was the only time when I was ahead of them. Ever since then, I've been trying to catch up, understand how the funding works, understand budgets, understand CSR, understand how best to spend the money that we have and amplify it for the benefit of the UK. So let's just look at how we spend that money. So I'm dividing it into the different sectors, and this is the way that we'll be looking at our funding in the future. So where do we spend money, in which sectors? So health and life sciences, where this is my background, and I can tell you that productivity across all sectors is the lowest in health and life sciences. We have a lot of work to do there to really make sure that the money that we've spent on research in the UK is translated into businesses and economic growth. We spend a lot in energy, transport and infrastructure, emerging enabling technologies, and in that I would include digital, I would include satellite applications, some of the really lovely new technologies emerging like graphene, quantum technologies, things that will drive the future of the economy, and then energy, transport and infrastructure, which also have a key role to play in productivity. If you look at the government document on productivity, there's an awful lot in there about infrastructure and improving infrastructures. And if we can make our cities and our business landscape work better, that in itself is a driver of greater productivity. So we cover all of these sectors. And as well as that, it's not just the money that we give to companies, it's also our ability to connect them to other companies and people in their supply chain and help them learn and grow, find their first customer, find the people further up who are going to buy their products, find their export customers as well. So we now have Innovate UK's five-point plan. I've talked about this often. If you've heard it before many times, I'm sorry if this is going to be boring for you, but it's a really good framework, I think, to explain what we do and how what we do improves productivity. So the first, and I'm going to expand on each of these points. So the first thing that we do is very important, is we work closely with the research community. We have a lot of partnered programs, and we help turn those ideas into business. We also work closely with government departments. Many government departments have innovation as part of their agenda. So we can think about DEC, DCMS. We want to help them too. We run competitions for them, and we help them decide, understand, and connect them to the scientists who are driving innovation in their area. Secondly, we accelerate economic growth by nurturing high-growth companies, and I think we need to do more of this. Innovate UK has been really strong at funding projects, but we also need to look at businesses and scaling up businesses. Thirdly, we need to consider location and regional investment and building on innovation throughout the UK, and I'll show you something on that. You probably have all heard of catapults. Who's heard of a catapult centre? Yeah, brilliant. Well, they're just sponsoring this, so if you didn't, that would have been not a good thing. Developing catapults within a national innovation network, I'll talk about that. And I think the piece that at the moment has most interest is evolving our funding models, which I'm not going to say too much about because there's an awful lot of work going on at the moment looking at what those financial vehicles might be. But we can talk a little bit about that in the discussion if you want to. So let's start with working with the research councils. We've had a fantastic programme called the Catalyst Programme. It doesn't actually matter what it's called. It matters what it does. And we've partnered with the MRC on the biomedical catalyst, with BBSRC on agri-tech, with EPSRC on energy, BBSRC on industrial biotechnology. And essentially, we both put funding in and we support companies to grow. Some of these are spin-outs. Some of them are small companies with a specific project where they need investment in R&D to generate the product. And very often, that product life cycle is maybe 5-10 years. So they're doing the very early research that will lead to more work over 5-10 years, at the end of which they'll be able to sell a product. So this is very early, very small studies, some of them feasibility studies. The funding that Innovate UK puts in is always matched by private capital and it goes to a business. So it's either money put in by the business itself to match the grant, or it's money put in by, for example, a venture capital company when a company's being started. And at the bottom, I'm going the A to Z of the biotech companies that have been supported. So Autiphany, it's a new drug for schizophrenia. Alstone, we supported a new way of diagnosing early cancer in the urine. In Summit, it was a new drug for Duchenne muscular dystrophy. And Ziarco, it was a new drug for skin disorders. So it's a specific project where we give money and matched funds. And what I would say is we've just done the analysis on this, which hasn't been published yet, but the sum total of money put in was 200 million, just over 200 million in the biomedical sector. There's already been a billion in follow-on funding, and those companies have grown, and that's just in the 2 years, 2 to 3 years that we've been running the program. So a billion in follow-on investment is a really good metric. A couple of examples. Here's Endomag, which has now treated 10,000 patients worldwide with its new technology, where we gave them actually several different types of awards. They went on a mission to California. We helped them with their exports, and now they have a nanoscale tracer system. And what that means is when you're treating somebody with cancer, it's invaded into the nodes. You want to know where that cancer is. This uses a magnetic detection system. You don't need to drink down a radioactive tracer. You can do it all in one go. You can take the tumour out and know that you've got the tumour and you're checking for it while the surgery's done. So they won an Innovate Award just a couple of months ago in our first ever prize giving, and they said without the funding from Innovate UK, they wouldn't be here today. That, you know, brings tears to my eyes, if I was that sort of person. The next example is Discover, And here, again, it was money from the Biomedical Catalyst, where they got significant VC investment after our funding, and they did a deal with Roche, and again, they won an SME award for attracting investment. And what they've invented is a device for trying to understand whether the bacterial infection you have is resistant to which antibiotics. Couldn't be more important in the world today. Another one of my favourites. So moving on to the second point, accelerating UK economic growth. So what size are the companies that we support? I've mapped here the size of the companies. Most of them, the landscape's changed over time. So we started really funding more large companies than small. But my view here is that we should be funding the micro companies less than 10 and the small from 10 to 50, but we should be measuring the number of mediums that there are. Because the medium-sized companies, they're the ones that really employ a lot of people, they pay tax, and they are really the engine of growth, I would say, in the UK. So we're going to need a lot of micro and smalls to grow a substantive number of mediums and really help the economy. The other point here is that you need to grow an ecosystem, you need to be able to connect up the large companies who really know what they want. They know the products they want, but they don't know how to make them. They know the what, but they don't know the how. So we need to connect those up with the small and the mediums who might already be on the journey to creating the piece that fits, and the academic researchers further back. And I think the area where this has been done brilliantly is the automotive industry, and I'm not going to dwell on that because we're going to hear more about it later. But I went to the Automotive Council and learnt how that whole ecosystem works, and they have been on a burning platform and are now the most productive sector in the UK. And I think there's a lot there for other sectors to learn. But we've run a lot of collaborative R&D programs where multiple companies of different size get around the same challenge and work out how they might do that together. A really good example of this is Evoque, where what we're looking for is a low-carbon innovation platform. So this has taken, it's a two-year program, multiple partners, and it's a test system so that people can look at future hybrid and battery vehicle technology by having a way of putting different elements together, seeing how they work, testing them and improving them. Many companies involved, and it helps to build relationships between the low carbon technology suppliers and the manufacturers. That's the way our collaborative R&D works. Many companies, one purpose, one challenge. Here's another one where it's not a collaboration you might immediately think of. When you think of McLaren, you think of sports cars, or I certainly did till I went to visit them. But what I found out is they had the Formula One technology, the predictive analytics that are so important in knowing how every part of the car is performing, what it's doing as it's going around the racetrack, taking in data, little bits of information, modelling what could happen, doing real-time analysis on what would happen if you made a change. That predictive analytic technology is perfect for healthcare solutions. So Essensys, another company that we provided a grant to, worked with McLaren Applied Technology and really invented a bandage-like detector which allows small babies to be taken out of incubators, held with their parents, walked around, not kept in an isolated system, and monitor how they're doing and analyse whether something's going wrong before the doctors, the nurses, even the parents are aware that something's going wrong. So seriously ill babies, this is perfect for them. And McLaren is really branching out to do lots of other medical technologies with the mathematical core that they have. Moving on to point three, building on innovation excellence throughout the UK. Every matched grant that we give is done by competition. So competitions are entirely open and people from throughout anywhere in the UK can apply for them. We've analysed where those grants, where that funding have been won. And it's important to see, is this just done? Is this just successful in the Golden Triangle? Does it map to the research investment, to the research expertise in the UK? And this is not the case. So if we look at where grants have been won, building up from 2007 when Innovate UK was started, you can see actually that grants have been won all over the UK. So some of the things we do, digital, new technologies, manufacturing, they're not restricted to just specific parts. And in fact, the most successful area of the UK per head of population in winning Innovate UK funding is the North East. So well done, the North East, for the fantastic companies that we have and help them underpin our economy in the future. Thank you.